Chapter 4. Then the occasion came. I just realized that the biology teacher never returned the posters I let him use, Dimitri said irritably at lunch, and I'll need them tomorrow morning.
I'll go get them, Claire offered.
Thanks, the lab director nodded in her direction. That's a help. There will be a group of volunteers starting indoctrination, and the visual aids make things easier.
They were eating in the hatchery cafeteria, six of them at the same table. There was no assigned seating, and today Claire, balancing her tray of prepared food, had made her way to an empty chair at this table where the director was already sitting with several technicians. He was talking about a set of demonstration posters that he liked to use when there were visitors being given a tour of the facility.
The biology teacher had borrowed them, and they had not yet been returned.
Notify the school. They'll have a student bring them. One of the technicians had finished eating and was tidying his tray. And they'll chastise the teacher, he added, with a malicious chuckle, as he stood.
No need, Claire said. I have another errand over that way. It'll be easy for me to stop by the school.
That wasn't really a lie, she told herself. Lying was against the rules. They all knew that, abided by it. And she hadn't made it up, the other errand she had mentioned. She only hoped no one would ask her what it was. But their attention was elsewhere now. They were crumpling their napkins, looking at their watches, preparing to return to work. It was her chance to look for Sophia. Her stop at the school was brief, and the biology teacher didn't recognize her. Claire had never studied biology. At 12, when the selections were made and the future jobs assigned, the children's education took different paths. Some in her group, she remembered a boy named Marcus, who excelled in school and was assigned a future as an engineer, would continue on and learn various sciences. He had probably completed biology by now, she guessed, and would be studying higher mathematics or astrophysics or biochemistry, one of the subjects that was whispered about when they were young as incomprehensibly difficult. Marcus wouldn't be in this ordinary school anymore, but in one of the higher education buildings reserved for scholars. Though she had been young at the time, Claire remembered when Peter, her brother, had moved on to higher education. Maybe Peter had even learned biology in school. But then he had been transferred over to the law buildings for his clerkship and studies. The hallways were familiar, and she found the biology classroom without difficulty.
I had intended to return these, the biology teacher told her, handing Claire the rolled-up posters. Would you please tell him that I didn't realize he would need them back so soon?
He sounded slightly annoyed.
Yes, I'll tell him. Thank you.
Claire left the teacher there at his desk in the classroom and made her way down the hall toward the front door. She glanced into the empty rooms. School hours had ended and the children had gone to their various volunteer jobs in the community. But she was familiar with some of the rooms, and she recognized a language teacher who leaned over a desk, packing things into a briefcase. Claire nodded uncertainly when the woman looked up and saw her.
Claire, is it? The teacher smiled. What a surprise! What?
But she didn't continue the question, though the look on her face was curious. Certainly the teacher would have remembered her selection as birth mother, and clearly a birth mother had no business in the school or, in fact, anywhere in the day-to-day geography of the community. But it would have been extremely rude to ask why Claire was there. So the teacher cut off her own question and simply smiled in greeting.
I'm just here collecting something, Claire explained, holding up the cylinder of posters. It's nice to see you again.
She continued down the hall and out through the front entrance of the education building and took her bicycle from the rack by the steps. Carefully, she attached the bundle of papers securely to the holder on the back of the bike. Nearby, a gardener transplanting a bush glanced at her without interest. Two children on bicycles pedaled past quickly, rushing toward something, probably worried about being late for their required volunteer hours.
Everything was familiar, unchanged, but it still felt odd to Claire to be back in the community again. She had not ventured far from the hatchery before this, just the short excursions with her co-workers. Over there, she thought, looking down the path she had ridden to get to the school. I can almost see the dwelling where I grew up.
Briefly, she wondered about her parents, whether they ever thought of her, or for that matter, of Peter. They had raised two children successfully, fulfilling the job of adults with spouses. Peter had achieved a highly prestigious assignment, and she, Claire, had not. Birth mother. At the ceremony, standing on the stage to receive her assignment, she had not been able to see her parents' faces in the crowd. But she could imagine how they looked, how disappointed they would have been. They had hoped for more from their female child. "There's honor in it," she remembered her mother saying reassuringly that night. "Birth mothers provide our future population." But it felt a little like those times when they had opened the dinner delivery containers to find that the evening meal would be grains prepared with fish oil. "High vitamin D," her mother would say in that same cheerful voice, in an attempt to make the meal seem more appealing than it really was. Claire biked away from the education buildings and hesitated at the corner where several paths intersected. She could turn right and ride past the back of Lawn Justice, straight along that path, and be back at the hatchery in a few minutes. But instead, she continued straight, then turned left, so that the House of the Old, surrounded by trees, was just ahead of her. She turned right here and slowed her bicycle near the child care center, steering carefully around a food delivery vehicle being unloaded. Then she made her way straight ahead toward the nurturing center. It was surprising, she thought, as she approached the structure, that she had never spent volunteer hours there as a schoolgirl. She had worked often at the child care center and had enjoyed the time playing educational games with the toddlers and young children. But infants, they were called new children, had never interested her. Some of her friends and age mates had thought the little ones cute, but not Claire. From what she had heard described, they were endless work. Feeding, rocking, bathing, and they cried too much. She had avoided doing her hours there. Now, planning how she would present herself at the entrance to the nurturing center, Claire realized that she was excited and a little nervous. She rehearsed what she might say when she went inside. To ask for Sophia would be foolish. Sophia would probably barely remember her. They had not been particular friends. But why else would she be appearing there, asking to enter? Well, Claire decided abruptly, she would lie once again. Against the rules, she knew that. Once she would have cared. Now, she didn't, as simple as that. And it was just a small lie. She wheeled her bicycle into the rack where several slots had been left open for visitors. Then she disengaged the rolled posters from the carrier and took them with her to the front door. Inside, a young woman sitting at a desk looked up from her papers and smiled at her. "Good afternoon," she said politely, peering at Claire's name tag. "Can I help you?" Claire introduced herself. "I'm a worker at the hatchery," she explained. "We have these extra posters explaining the life cycle of salmon. I was wondering if you could use some to decorate your walls." If the young woman said yes, she realized, she would have some explaining to do to the hatchery director, who was at this very moment expecting his posters back. But it was a pretty safe assumption that the answer would be no. Who would care about examining the growth of fish? It wasn't even that interesting to those who worked with them. And indeed, the young woman smiled and shook her head. "Thank you," she said. "But we have specially designed equipment to engage the attention of new children. We don't deviate from the standard means of helping them to focus their attention span and to exercise their small muscles. Everything is pretty carefully calibrated by the experts in infant development." Claire nodded. "Interesting," she said. "I'm sorry I never volunteered here. I don't know much about nurturing at all. Do you ever let visitors have a tour?" The receptionist appeared pleased at her interest. "Never been here at all? My goodness, it's such a fun place. You should certainly take a look, since you're here anyway. Let me see who's on duty." She ran her finger down a list of names. "Is Sophia here?" Claire asked. "She was with my age group." "Oh, Sophia, she's such a diligent worker. Let me look. Yes, there's her name. Let's see if she's available." Summoned through the intercom by the receptionist, Sophia entered the front hallway from a corridor on the side. She hadn't changed much since they had both been 12 almost 3 years before. She was thin, with her hair pulled back under a cap, which seemed to be part of her uniform. Claire smiled at her.
Hi, she said. I don't know if you remember me. I was 12 when you were. My name's Claire?
Sophia looked at Claire's name tag and nodded with a small smile of recognition after a moment.
We don't wear name tags, Sophia explained, because the new children would grab at them. But I remember you. I think we were in the same math class.
I hated math. I was never very good at it. Claire made a face. Sophia chuckled.
I did pretty well, but it never interested me much. Remember Marcus? He got such high marks in math. He's in engineering studies now.
Claire nodded.
He was always studying, she recalled.
Sophia frowned and peered toward the small print under Claire's name on her name tag.
I forgot what your assignment was, she said. Your uniform is...
Fish hatchery, Claire explained quickly. Good, Sophia didn't remember that she had been assigned birth mother.
And so what are you doing here?
Hoping to get a tour, Claire told her.
Somehow I missed out on the whole nurturing section, and I have a little free time this afternoon.
Oh, well, all right. You can follow along and I'll explain things, but I have to work. It's almost feeding time.
Come on, clean your hands first.
Sophia pointed to a disinfectant dispenser on the wall of the corridor, and Claire followed her example, rubbing her hands carefully with the clear medicinal liquid.
The youngest ones are in this first room.
Youngest ones. That meant the most recent new children. Claire thought back and remembered which of her sister vessels had been preparing to give birth when she was dismissed. These would be their products.
We can't go in this one without changing to sterile uniforms, but we can look at them.
Sophia pointed through a window to a spotlessly clean area filled with small wheeled carts, many empty. Two workers, a young man in a nurturer's uniform and a volunteer, a girl of 10 or so, were tidying things. They looked up at the window, saw the two observers, and smiled.
How many newest? Sophia called through the glass.
The volunteer held up 4 fingers. Then she moved to one of the carts and pushed it closer to the window so Sophia and Claire could see. A card on the side had a gender symbol indicating female and the number 45.
45? Claire asked, looking down at the infant who was wrapped tightly in a light blanket with only its small face exposed. The eyes were tightly closed. What's that mean?
Sophia looked at her in surprise.
Number 45. 45th new child this year, just 5 more to come. Don't you remember? We all had numbers. I was 27.
Oh, yes, of course. I was one of the earliest ones our year. I was number 11.
And she did remember, now that Sophia had reminded her. After age 12, the numbers didn't matter much, were rarely referred to. But being number 11 had served her well when she was young. It had meant that she was the 11th new child her year, older, therefore, than so many others, like Sophia, who had been later to walk and talk, later to shoot up in height.
By 12, of course, most of that evened out, but Claire could remember being a 5 and a 6, and proud that she was a little ahead of so many others.
What about the other ones in this year's batch? Claire asked.
Sophia gestured. The oldest, numbers 1 to 10, they're in that room over there. A couple of them can walk already. She rolled her eyes. It's really a nuisance to chase after them.
She started down the hall and turned a corner, Claire following.
Then the next oldest are here.
Another large window allowed the two young women to look into a room where a group of infants crawled on the carpeted floor strewn with toys while their attendants prepared bottles at a counter and sink against the wall.
So they're arranged in groups of 10?
Sophia nodded.
5 rooms and 10 in each when we have our full 50. Right now we still have a few newborns due to come in. Then when we reach 50, no more till after the next ceremony.
She waved cheerfully at the volunteer putting the bottles into the warming device, and the young girl grinned and waved back.
Then, of course, after this year's 50 are assigned, we start fresh after the ceremony with new ones coming in gradually. It's like a little vacation.
It's a while still till the ceremony, but you have almost the full 50?
It's timed over at the birthing unit so we don't get a batch of newborns late in the year. Parents being given new children don't want brand new ones.
Too much work?
Not really. You saw a minute ago. Those newest ones, they mostly sleep.
but it's a lot of responsibility, keeping everything sterile. Also, you can't play with the new ones. Parents like to play with their children when they get them.
Claire was half listening. 36, she thought. Her product had been number 36. She had kept the number firmly in her mind.
So next is the third 10, she asked. Let me think. 1 to 10, then this group is 11 to 20. The next group will be 21 to 30, right?
Yes, over there, across the hall. I usually work with that group. I'm going to have to go back in a minute to help feed.
Claire glanced through the window that displayed Sophia's group of infants who were dangling in swings suspended from the ceiling, kicking their bare feet against the carpet. A male attendant was changing one on a padded table. He noticed the girls and pointed meaningfully to the large clock on the wall. Sophia opened the door a crack, and Claire could hear the gurgles and giggles as the infants talked to one another. She smiled. She had not thought of new children as being appealing, not at all. But there was a sweetness to these little ones, she had to admit. She could understand why new parents wanted ones they could play with.
I'll be right in, Sophia was telling her co-worker. I'm giving a tour. Or,
she turned to Claire,
we could stop here. There's only one more group, the next to youngest. They're not that interesting. Want to come in and play with these? You could feed one if you want.
Claire hesitated. She didn't want to seem oddly interested in a particular group.
You know, she told Sophia, I'd really like to peek at the last group just so I can say I've seen them all, if you don't mind.
Sophia sighed.
I'll be back in a minute,
she told the uniformed man who had placed the newly changed infant back in a swing and was now taking small bowls of cereal from the warmer.
Over here, Sophia told Claire, and led her to the last room in the corridor. So these would be, let me think, 31 to 40? Correct.
Sophia was clearly eager to get back to her own charges.
Next to newest. May I go in?
Claire was looking through the observation window. Each small crib held an infant, and two attendants were propping warmed bottles on padded holders beside their heads so that they could suck.
I guess, Sophia opened the door and asked. We have a visitor. Could you use a hand for this feed?
A uniformed man smiled.
How about two hands? We can use all the help we can get.
I have to get back to work with my own group, but I'll leave her here with you.
Thanks, Sophia. It's been good to see you again, Claire smiled. Maybe we could get together for lunch or something.
Yes, come back any time.
Best is when they're napping, though.
She gave a brief goodbye gesture and returned to her own assigned room. Claire entered timidly and stood watching as the final bottles were distributed.
There, the attendant said. Everyone's been served. Now we have to check from time to time and make sure they're all properly placed. Of course, they'll yell if they lose hold of the nipple. Won't you?
He glanced down with a smile at one of the infants who was industriously sucking at the milk.
And then one by one, we pick the little guys up and pat their backs till they burp. Ever done that?
Claire shook her head. Till they burp? She couldn't even imagine it.
No.
He chuckled.
Well, you can watch. Then, if you want to give it a try.
He lifted one of the infants from its crib. Claire moved forward and saw the number. 40. She glanced around to see if the numbers were in order, but the little beds were on wheels and seemed to have been placed randomly. As she watched, the attendant took 40 to a rocking chair in the corner and sat down with the little one against his shoulder. The other attendant, a young woman, leaned forward over a crib with a sniff and said suddenly,
"Uh-oh, 34 needs changing." She wrinkled her nose and pushed the crib over to the changing area. "You'll have to finish your bottle after I clean you up, little girl," she said with a chuckle, and lifted the infant to the table.
Claire noticed then that each small crib here was also tagged with a gender symbol. She made her way past the little beds, glancing in at the infants, some sucking serenely on their milk, others gulping lustily. Suddenly, one in a crib marked male let out a shriek, then switched to a loud wail.
"I don't need to ask who that is," the man said, continuing to pat and stroke the back of the infant he held. "I recognize his voice."
Claire looked at the number on the crib that contained the howling new child.
"It's 36, she told him.
"Of course it's 36. The man replied, laughing. It's always 36. Pick him up, would you? See if you can get him to stop screeching.
Claire took a deep breath. She had never held an infant before. The man, watching her, sensed that.
He won't break. They're quite tough, actually. Just be sure to support his head.
She leaned down. Her hands seemed to know what to do. They slid easily under him and found the way to hold his neck and head. Gently, Claire picked up her son.